This is Fel Farron. And I am driving home. It's Thursday today. It's been a good week at work. We've been able to get some things done, so it's been good. Always happy when Thursday runs around because it's the start of my weekend. We did have one really strange bug. Really strange bug that showed up today. And I didn't get it solved because I looky and everything looked okay to me. And in fact, I impersonated the user who was having the problem, could not reproduce it. Some very fine and kind folks in the tech support for the missionaries are going to take chat with them and get online with them and find out if they can see what there is to see. So maybe we'll figure that out. But aside from that, the rest of the week was good. We closed the month for June this week. That all seemed to go fine. We had a little hiccup today over in the cash receipt side because the guy who normally does the start of month stuff wasn't there, and a bunch of new employees over in the cash receipt side. And so we'll see how everything goes tonight. I think we'll be fine in terms of what we do tonight. First, it looked like there for a minute we weren't going to send any batches through tonight, but then later in the day they finally started getting a few, so I think we'll be okay. So that all is well and good. The writing is going just fine. I think I know where I'm going now for book 15. I wasn't intending to make book 15 as much as a cliffhanger as book 7 was, but the way it's shaping up, I think it may be, and I may need to rename it, because the parable I was going to use is going to be illustrative of a scene that may get moved to book 16, so now I gotta rethink what I'm doing. But that's okay. That's okay. I think it's gonna be interesting and it's gonna be fun. And like that. So that's good. So I'm probably gonna be on a dead run here, writing for the next 8 weeks, 7 weeks. And then we'll get started on the beta version and get that shipped out. So that's all going good. And then book 16, dun, 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 which is the final book of the second set of 8. And that's where you gotta have like the big deal, you know, that I've been setting up for now for, well, 6 books, will be 7 books. And then we're gonna head into book 8. That will be fun. Don't know exactly everything that's happening in book 8 yet, but I know where we end up. And I think I even know what the epilogue is for book 8, I think. So, it'll be interesting. We'll just let it develop and see what happens. All is well with the costumes. Tomorrow we are celebrating National Paper Bag Day. And I mentioned that I had gotten that out of storage and it wasn't eaten up nearly as much as I thought it was going to be. For that, I was grateful. And I do have to get it. I have tried on the pieces already, but I do have to get it all back on tonight. And then I got to put it in my wife's van because I can't carry this costume in my car. It's too big. And have breakfast lined up with 2 friends tomorrow and Saturday. So that's all good and under control. And I think they'll enjoy the costume. And so life is good. Life is good. You know, and when we were having problems with that weird bug today, you know, it was possible for me to get anxious and confused about it. But, you know, I just kept thinking, this is the moment. Be in the moment. And it was interesting because as I was
working either before or after that.
I can't remember which. I had some worship music on because after that I was just doing some brainless work, and so I had some worship music on. And the song Another in the Fire came on. I had never heard that song before. That is a good one. Wow. It blessed me. Another in the Fire, it's called. Well done. So, that kind of helped with all that as well. But, you know, all is well. Got done what we needed to do. We're moving forward. I did have notes today. I did have notes today that I had prepared. But my afternoon turned interesting, we'll say. And in fact, it cut an hour out of my billable hours, but I was grateful to do it. I'm grateful. In faith, I'm believing that in fact, it was right time, right place. We'll see. So, I've mentioned ivermectin before. And I'm on it for preventative. I haven't had any side effects that I can tell. I mean, some of the side effects are supposed to be like a bit more tiredness and fatigue, potentially, you know, a little nausea. Never had any nausea, so. But I fast enough during the week that, you know, it's pretty hard to tell what's tiredness from the fasting or what might be tiredness from the ivermectin. I don't know. I'm just taking it. But it's been interesting to watch as this Delta variant has taken hold, because it feels like I got on the ivermectin just in time. Now, the interesting thing about the ivermectin is that there's not like a 2-week lag time with it. I mean, you take it and it starts flushing through your system and, you know, you're good to go. An illustration of that might be, because all this stuff, it very definitely seems like all this stuff is supported by the science and by the testing. But there's so many people who are just so determined that it has to be wrong, that it can't be working. And they're so argumentative about it, and they're so sure of it, that you just have to say, well, okay, this is what it looks like for me. This is my experience. You know, looks like there's some really good science behind this. But anybody can poo-poo anything, you know. So this is all just my experiences, my opinion. So the young man who lives with us lives out in our little rock house. I think he lost his sense of smell on Wednesday. I can't remember. It was either Wednesday or Thursday. I helped him as he was driving back into town. He was trying to get a COVID test, but then he found out it has to be scheduled. And so as he was driving back out to the house, I helped him get set up with an appointment for the next morning at like 10 o'clock. He did that. He called his primary care physician. The primary care physician immediately ordered ivermectin for him. He went by, he picked it up. Oh, I can tell you, hold up. I can tell you when he picked up his ivermectin. So just a second. Because the days are important here. Because the sequence is important. So let's see. Whoop 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 whoop. Okay. Still heading down. Cool. Okay. Good. High-fat meal, blah, blah, blah. Do you take it? First dose of ivermectin in my system. Okay, so that's Thursday. So he got his ivermectin on Thursday. So he lost his sense of smell on Wednesday. Got his ivermectin on Thursday. And it was not long after that. I got him some vitamins. So by Friday, so he got his first dose of ivermectin like on Thursday midday. By Friday, about 6 o'clock, he wrote me and he said, I do have a very small percentage of my smell back. Okay, this is like 24 hours later. Okay, great. And he said, you know, I've been feeling fine. Everything seems to be going fine, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so he started on it on Thursday. He had a 5-day dose, 15 milligrams per day, which is a little heavy for his weight, but that's fine because he's only 150 pounds. I kept checking in with him. By Tuesday, he wrote and he said, I got a good amount of my smell back. He told me later that he hadn't been able to smell his little guy's dirty diapers. And he said he's sitting there and he smelled his little guy's dirty diapers. He's like, oh, I need to change them. So he goes to change them and the little kiddo had diarrhea. And he said about gagged me. He said, because I hadn't been able to smell it. And then I talked to him later on Tuesday. So this would have been 5 doses later. And he said he had felt great through the whole thing and he was getting his sense of smell back and, you know, ta-da. So that was all going. So that was, you know, nice to hear. And that, you know, whether or not it helped or not, I don't know. But coincidentally, he got a sense of smell back in what would have been 5 or 6 days, 5 days from the initial dose. So today things turned interesting because I've been sharing with friends about ivermectin, pointing them to the website, letting them do their own research, like I'm making. And I had a friend that called me a couple of days ago, and he said, hey, I said, can I get any of your magic pills? He said, I just can't get rid of this cough. And I talked to him on the phone. I said, you know, buddy, it's a controlled substance. I said, he said, no, I understand that. But I passed him all the information on where the doctors were and, you know, get in touch with them. And then I heard today, that he actually was in the emergency room because he couldn't breathe. And of course that set up, you know, all kinds of mental review for me, because then you're getting into a situation of, he's willing to do this. I have it. Potentially, this could be life or death. Because, as it turned out, he did go to the emergency room, and what they did is they sent him home with oxygen because they're out of ventilators. And so they just said, here, take this oxygen, go home, use it. Well, that's not a treatment. That's just hoping that the body is going to recover. But that's what the, you know, supposedly best medical practices are at this point. Well, we'll give you some oxygen and cross our fingers. When there seems to be solution. And so I actually talked to some of my friends there at work, you know, trying to say, what do you think about this situation? What, you know. Now, jump to the end of the story. My friend did find a clinic in town where he was able to get a high dose of vitamin C, which seems to help. Vitamin D, that kind of stuff seems to help. And in addition to that, he asked them, do you prescribe ivermectin? And they said, yes, we do. So they had, you know, seen the research. And so he was able to get some ivermectin today. And I had previously pointed him at the FLCCC website. Just going to review that. And we talked about dosages and those types of things. And now we'll see. You know, I do know this. Doing nothing is not a great idea with the Delta variant. And, you know, the traditional medical establishment doesn't seem to know quite what to do with all of this. As I was sharing with some friends, you know, one of them said, well, my uncle is currently in the hospital on a ventilator. Said his wife has it, his son has it. He's only been given a couple of months to live with cancer. He said, I'll pass the information along. Because I mean, when you look at it, and you look at what is happening around the world, when you look at the cases, for instance, in India, where their vaccination has not had a major spike, and yet towards the end of April down to June, July, their cases have just fallen off because India decided they were going to do nationwide distribution of ivermectin. And of course, the WHO has come out and said, well, it shouldn't be used for anything except trials. You shouldn't use it in mass. You just shouldn't use it. And amazingly enough, I read the article. The WHO did an article about the drop-off of cases in Uttar Pradesh. I don't think I talked about this last week. If I did, I apologize for repeating myself. Talked about the dramatic drop-off of cases in Uttar Pradesh, and basically the article was written to pat themselves on the back to say, well, yeah, they used our protocols for rapid testing and quarantine. And in the article, the WHO says, and, you know, the officials in Uttar Pradesh had a little medical kit that they sent, you know, a home medicine kit they sent with them. Completely ignored the fact that ivermectin was in that kit. And as I understand it, there was enough ivermectin in that kit, not only for the person who tested positive, but for all the other people in the family. And they told them, you take ivermectin and you all take ivermectin as well. We had a dramatic fall off of cases. So aside from all the clinical trials that have been done, the 60 clinical trials that dealt with thousands of people, aside from the meta-analysis that was done that showed efficacy across, we have these mass trials where things are being done, like in Mozambique, where it was mass deployed, in India, where it was mass deployed, and there was tremendous effect. And right now, my understanding is that Indonesia has decided that they're going to do a mass deploy because the drug is cheap and it's made all over the world. So does that mean I'm never going to get COVID? No, certainly not. Because, you know, according to the meta-analysis, it looks like it may be somewhere around the region of 87% effective at preventing COVID, where supposedly the vaccines were 95, except for the fact that apparently it's not 95 when it comes to the Delta variant. Because they're revising their numbers down at this point. And I read one article today about a guy saying, look, with the spread of this thing, in his opinion, it's highly likely that you may have more asymptomatic cases, that those who are vaccinated may be asymptomatic, but that doesn't mean they're not catching it and they aren't spreading it to others and thinking that, well, I've been vaccinated, and so I don't need to wear a mask. I don't need to socially distance. I can go because I'm great now. I'm, you know, but, you know, if the vaccines are only a certain percentage and keep it really low grade, but it keeps it enough to where you can give it to other people, there's a possibility that people who are vaccinated are in fact one of the reasons that it's spreading so quickly. So it's all kinds of weirdness. But I wish I could say definitively that there's no question that ivermectin is going to help everybody. I wish I could say that. I don't know that. There's no way for me to know that. But I am grateful that I was able to find out about it long enough ago and to track it long enough ago and to get on it 2-3 weeks ago soon enough that when the Delta variant hit, you know, I stood a fighting chance of not getting it because of the ivermectin and had been talking about it enough that my friend, potentially, who ended up in the emergency room and was only sent home with a canister of oxygen, that potentially he's going to get some relief finally. He was able to get some ivermectin from one of the clinics in town, which is really good because now I know of a clinic where I can send people to get ivermectin. And I know of a doctor's office that's willing to prescribe it. And I got to tell you, that's encouraging because apparently they looked at the stuff as well, being medical professionals, and they went, okay, there's something here. Because I have a hard time believing that they're all kooks. So we're in this just really crazy, crazy thing. This last week, a CEO that's in charge of one of the top two health providers, the top two big health providers in this town, put out a tweet and basically told people, look, if you're not in the medical profession and you understand merit, don't, you know, and you're saying disparaging things about the vaccines, in his tweet said, if you're saying disparaging, shut up. Okay, this supposedly medical professional, administrative professional, in a tweet is sounding like a 12-year-old. You need to shut up. Okay, that's mature. I mean, it's reflective of the pressure and the anxiety that he's feeling. The other major medical provider here in town, as I said, is out of ventilators. And people are coming in and there's nothing they can do for them. And they're having to make decisions about who gets ventilators and who doesn't. And everyone is just sitting around wringing their hands. And honestly, India had gotten to that point where it was just out of control. And that was one of the reasons that India finally said, look, we're doing this. This is a Hail Mary. We're doing it. And I just wonder how much longer this is going to go before some states break with the pact and tell the doctors, let's do this. You know. Now, obviously, for the vaccine companies, having something that even if it's a little efficacious, that's the other thing I was talking to friends about. I mean, even if we're talking about it's 40% effective, or it's 50%, or 10%, or 20% in helping people get over this, this is a very safe drug. 40 years of experience, 4 billion doses. It's a very safe drug, does not harm people. Why aren't we saying, you know, that's one thing we could try in our arsenal to help people? But instead of doing that, we're just trying to completely ignore it. And people are getting kicked off YouTube if they talk about it. And if Dr. Pierre Corey, who is very persuasive, who's affiliated with the FLCCC, you know, if he goes on, does a podcast with someone and it's on YouTube, it gets shut down. It's just astonishing. And people are dying. And we have this amazing substance that seems to help at least some people. And yet, we prefer just to let them die. This is astonishing. And I caught myself when I was talking to a friend today. I was about to say it's frustrating, and then I stopped myself and I said, you know, all of this is just flesh. It's just flesh. It's the aggregation of flesh that we talked about last week or the week before last. And I think one of the things, well, I think the whole Trump involvement in looking at repurposed drugs certainly has bled over and influenced some people. But I was thinking this week as well with ivermectin that one of the things that may be going on is that the flesh can sniff out the fact that this drug should not exist. And it's too easy for people to see a larger hand of providence in this drug, and the flesh hates that. And so it can't be true. You have a researcher in Japan on a golf course taking a soil sample, finding a strain of bacteria that produces this, and it's not only an antiparasitic, it's an antiviral, and it's an anti-inflammatory. And it has brought so much benefit to the world that it was awarded a Nobel Prize for its antiparasitic qualities. And then when COVID comes along and they're testing all kinds of drugs in vitro in a, you know, lab culture, and they do it in vitro and it just wipes out COVID-19. Now, of course, there's a long way between a lab and a human. But I was reading an article about, you know, the region of Delphi in India. Delphi. And how that the widespread use of ivermectin led to some incredible number. 75 or 95. It was plus 75% drop in cases. Just over a fairly short amount of time. Now, I will tell you from a vaccine standpoint, you know, the companies that make these vaccines that are trying to go around now and sell them to the other countries and kind of strong arm the countries into accepting them and signing non-disclosures, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This is not the scenario that they want. But as long as they can hold the United States, you know, then they can go to these other countries and say, well, the FDA doesn't approve that. That's off-label, and the FDA says don't use it, and the WHO says don't use it. You know, because the WHO has been so trustworthy through this whole thing. And the FDA is understaffed and overworked. You know. So it's really fascinating. But I was astonished today at, you know, everyone I was sharing with, and I actually had to go off the clock for a while today because there were so many people, every single one of them had a story where if ivermectin is anywhere near as effective as some of the research looks like it is, this stuff should be deployed far and wide. And it should be in use as a tool in the toolkit. And the fact that it isn't is... Well, I was talking to a friend today, and the fact that the response is, go home, here's some oxygen. When you can't breathe, come back. That's pretty barbaric. I mean, honestly, it's pretty barbaric. Especially when there's a possibility. But that is where we are. So I don't know how much worse it's going to have to get before someone in the United States says, this is crazy. Let's get the country on this and get this thing knocked out. But we'll just see. Jesus is with us. Everything's going to be fine. It is a fascinating point in which to be alive. And my fervent hope for all those who are suffering from COVID at this point is that they will recover quickly by whatever means necessary. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.